So as we continue through this first letter that Paul writes to the church in Corinth, and here we move to the second chapter. Again, all of the divisions in the scriptural books are much later additions, but usually they're fairly well purposed. And so we move here to this whole sense of Paul trying to explain why he's so obsessed, why he's so focused on the person of Jesus, and indeed of Jesus crucified. And so to begin, I just want to re-listen to our second reading today, but this time taken from the New Revised Standard Version of the Scriptures.
When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God.
Paul wants us to understand first this, the whole sense of who God is. The power of God. I mean, when we think about God, this force or this person or this weird and wonderful kind of life force, or, you know, it can lead us in all kinds of different directions. We can have that sense of just this, there's this kind of weird sort of power or force or something else. Or it can be something just so much more personal. I mean, if you've studied a certain area, you know, if you've looked into astronomy and you've been studying this field all your life, or you're a musician and you know the construction of music and you know the way that it's all kind of fits together and harmonics and all those other sorts of things, or you've studied art and you know the way that paint is able to be mixed and the variations and the layering and all the different effects, even if you know a subject so well, there's often still that moment, that place where there's an experience where you see like your firstborn child and you look into their eyes and suddenly there is this sense of something that's different, even though you've studied biology, even though you know all the mechanics, that just that moment when that child catches your eye, or in the music, you know, a piece of music that you suddenly hear, and all of that sense, all of that theory about the way the music is constructed, suddenly this piece of music just knocks you for six because it's just so sublime, so beautiful. Or a piece of art, even though you know all the mechanics, even though you know the way that the colors will mix and you can see the technique of the artist, there's something about that particular painting that just moves you in the depths of who you are. And so it is with God, that God is able to be described. You know, we can kind of systematically process God. We can begin to look at point one, and then point one, point one, and then point one, point one, point one, and begin to dissect our faith and try and make sense of it and try and analyze it and try and parse it. And yet we get to a point where it's just God, and it's just this mystery, this sense of something so much greater than us, so much beyond us. And in so much of this is what Paul is struggling with, because he knew God. He knew the Scriptures. He knew that sense of the law and all that Moses had offered and the whole system of thought that Judaism provided. He understood it perfectly as a trained rabbi, sitting, as he says, at the feet of Gamaliel in Jerusalem, studying it day after day, month after month, year after year. He'd come to experience the power of the law and the word of God personally. But it wasn't until that moment when he's on his way to Damascus and he encounters Jesus, this person, not just a force, not just a power, not just something out there, but he meets the very person and the power and the awesomeness of God in himself. and he's able to encounter God. And so from that moment on, when he speaks about God, there's this holy reverence, this mystery that he wants to convey to us. And so he's wanting to remind us of all that is available to us. And so he says, you know, even though there's all these different possibilities, even though there's all these things that are available to talk to you about, he said, this is the only thing. There's nothing that I wanted to say. I said nothing among you except about Jesus and him crucified. And indeed, when you look at the first part of this letter, the opening verses that we had 4 weeks ago, there was this incredible sense of you discovering an insight into Paul and his whole kind of makeup. You know, when you meet someone who's just fallen in love for the first time, you know, all that they want to tell you about is this person. All, you know, suddenly this person's name is being dropped into every conversation, and oh, and then she was like this, and then he was doing this, and oh, and then she wore this, and it was just amazing, and then he said this, and you know, all of this sense of being captivated and captured. We'll read the first few verses of 1 Corinthians, and you get the same sense of Paul. All he wants to do is say the name of Jesus. All he wants to do is to invite us into this same love and this same experience, this same encounter with God, because it's captured him and it's captivated him. And he says, this is the thing, this is the way that our lives are able to be changed when we encounter God, when we experience that power of Jesus. And he says, it's the cross that is the transformation. There is nothing else apart from the cross, because this moment of absolute vulnerability, this moment when Jesus was there defeated, conquered, beaten by the Roman Empire, destroyed by the Roman Empire. The uprising that never even got off the ground seemed to have been utterly defeated, utterly destroyed. And yet Paul says, this is the power of God. This man there naked before us, no power, no strength, no armies, no might, no glory, no crown, no fine clothing, no people there in adoration, just bowing down before him, just people jeering him, deriding him. And he says, this is the moment of the power, when the power of God is able to be revealed. But Paul didn't leave it just there. He didn't just say, this is just this one moment in history. He says, no, this is the same for all of our lives. This is the truth that we're able to experience in our own lives as well. That when we encounter that moment, the moment of the cross, the moment of dying to ourselves, it's there that we also experience the power of God. Scholars will say that if we want to understand some passages in Paul, you need to go to other places in Paul and read what he writes about it there. And so in 2 Corinthians 4, he says this. He says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay so that it may be clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. And it's that Paul begins to understand, this sense of the cross and the sense of this vulnerability. And Paul realizes that this power of God, this dynamos, this incredible transformative power is available to us. It's given freely to us. It's made open to us. And yet this treasure, this extraordinary power is not ours. No matter how much we claim it, no matter how much we want it to be ours, it's just this free gift of God. And what are we? We're nothing more than jars of clay, nothing more than these fragile instruments that try and hold and sustain this glorious truth, this wonderful moment of this transformation. And yet Paul wants us to understand that it's this power that is available to us, this truth that is made available to us. And that's why we need to keep coming back to the cross. We need to keep reflecting upon that moment in human history when Jesus gave himself so completely and so with such vulnerability for us. Because I love this quote, if we look for unity in anything other than the cross, we will become something other than the church. It's this that changes us. I mean, Paul is writing to this very fractured, very divided, very ethnically diverse community. You know, there's all kinds of factions, all kinds of infighting, all kinds of experiences where it's separating into these different camps and different groups. And Paul is saying, no, there's something so much more amazing, so much more wonderful that is there available to unite us. And it's nothing less than the person of Jesus, but Him crucified. In that vulnerability, in that woundedness, in that openness, Jesus opens the path to us to be vulnerable together in community. And it's that that forms the church. It's that openness and that vulnerability that allows us to experience this. And if we want to know more about the cross, there is no better way than through the Alpha program. The Alpha is this ongoing presentation of the power of the cross, this invitation for us to experience the very person of Jesus and to come face to face with the glory of the crucified and yet risen Lord. And so we begin this week on this journey. We begin this week to allow Alpha to be that first step. And that's all it is. It's not the end story. It's not the end game. But it is a first step, and it is a continuing invitation for us into that encounter with the person of Jesus. And so I certainly invite you to be part of that process, but also to think, well, who will I invite to join me? Maybe the first time round you just want to come yourself and then think, okay, if it is good, then I can talk to others and I can share this gift with others as well. But for this first one, certainly, please, you know, make it a priority in your life to be part of this journey together. I mean, when we had the training on Tuesday night, at the end of the evening, I looked back and just thought, wow, there's something of such wonder and such beauty in this moment of the 35 or so people that were gathered there in that room. It's a turning point. It's a moment when we'll be able to look back in the history of this parish and say, that's where it all happened. That's where the magic happened. That's where this power began to be unleashed in this community. That's where this moment of transformation happened in St. Paul's. And let's be part of this. Let's not just sit on the sidelines and say, well, we'll let someone else do that for us. No, we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. But unless that light is able to be to shine forth into the world, what point is it? Unless the salt changes the structure of the world, again, what point is it?